Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have the one and only Sophie with me for a mega special little something. It's Christmas everything right about now, which usually means the scary is far behind us. Or is it? Tonight we're caroling our way out of the shadows and checking our bags twice because it's imperative. What in the Black Christmas are we talking about? Why, secondhand hauntings, of course. But before we do, what's better than a gold star on the chalkboard? Why, 5 stars, of course. Post your rating and review of your favorite shows anywhere you listen to your podcast and make sure your faves get seen and know how much you love them. Have a real-life ghost story you'd like to share with the class? Email your story to themediamatters@gmail.com or send it via DM on one of the show's social media pages and I will personally reply to make arrangements for you to tell your story right here on the show. Are you more of a talker, not so much a writer? That's cool too. Call us and tell us all about it at 850-203-0118. This season, I'm super grateful for all of you and the time we get to spend together LOLing on the Insta Twitter sphere. If you love the lols as much as I do, come hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where we can chill and chat and emoji all the live long day. And while you're scrolling around, make sure you post a screenshot of you listening to any Media Matters episode on your favorite podcast app, tag me in your Insta Twitter Snapbook post, and I will shout you out like a boss. And don't forget to turn on your notifications and be the first to see new posts from me and the show. Trust me, you're going to want to see what's coming. Want more ways to rid yourself of the FOMO? Email me at themediamatters@gmail.com, reach out on the show site at themediamatters.com, call us at 850-203-0118, or take me shopping with you as you pick out your smudge kit, incense, books, new Christmas kicks, or whatever your heart desires on the show's Amazon store at amazon.com/shop/mediamatters and do what I do, shop. Want exclusive goodies like bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes chats, pinky promises, and more? Join our super kick-ass, super exclusive family on Patreon and get immediate access to the fun. Check out the show at patreon.com/themediamatters and join us today and forever. Without further ado, let's get down with this week's Can't Resist Crystal, which is the one and only Obsidian. From Cassandra Eason's The Complete Crystal Handbook and an oldie but a goodie, energymuse.com, the obsidian crystal stone meaning can be traced back to the Paleolithic times where it was used to make arrowheads and other tools. Cherished for its deep glossy sheen, obsidian is often called volcanic glass because it is formed from molten lava that has cooled very quickly. With such a rich lineage, obsidian has plenty of street cred, so every time you gaze at its shiny luster, let yourself be reminded of its reputation for being a powerful and protective talisman. During prehistoric times, the obsidian crystal wasn't just a stylish way to accessorize a loincloth. This warrior stone also protected our Paleo-Indian ancestors from marauding invaders and the perils of hunting. If you find yourself drawn to the obsidian crystal stone and its intense, mysterious vibes, it could be a sign that you're in need of a deep psychic cleanse. Known as a psychic vacuum cleaner, the obsidian crystal is your spiritual maid service working hard to clean up the emotional wreckage and debris from the past. A bodyguard to your soul, the obsidian crystal stone also protects you from shadow traits such as addiction, fear, anxiety, and anger by acting as a mirror to your inner self. For more on obsidian, make sure you check out Cassandra Eason's book, The Complete Crystal Handbook, energymuse.com, or any resource that resonates with you. It's time to cover your mirrors, hide your dolls, douse yourself in holy water, and, well, pray for the best. It's all you can do. So, this episode is such a departure from anything that we've done before, and I'm excited and I'm nervous. That's the only way to say this. Excited and nervous. Let me set the scene for you. Saturday night. It was a dark and stormy night. Just kidding, guys. It's not stormy. And if it were stormy, I don't think we'd be doing this. Or I don't know. Sophie might be able to talk me into it because that's who I'm with tonight, you guys. It's my Soph dog.
Hello, hello.
Right? I'm all excited. She's like, hey, guys. So we were last with Sophie and we were talking about, you know, the in case of emergency, like break this case in case of emergency type of situation. That's not the deal tonight. It's not... I thought I heard breathing. Okay. It's okay, guys. It's okay. It's not that episode. So tonight, do you want to share what we're doing tonight?
So, sure. As you all know, my mom had passed and everything, but what you didn't know in her living on Earth life, she was really into antiques. She owns a gift shop. She would buy all these unusual items. She'd bring them home, she'd clean them up, and then she'd take them to the gift shop and resell them. And that's something she's done for decades. It was a real passion of hers, and she would find some of the most unique items I'd ever seen. What I want to talk about is when you bring home items, especially from estate sales or unknown sources, or they're kind of just given to you, a lot of times those items come with attachments. And tonight we're going to talk about those attachments on various objects that are in my mom's home currently that I've now gathered all together, and it is thick in here.
Yes, it is. So I was telling Sophie, so it is nighttime, and Sophie and I have been talking about this for a little bit since her mom did crossover. And Sophie has been doing a lot of work in her mom's shop, and she's been doing a lot of work here in her mom's home. Both places have activity. And so we've been talking about that. And her mom's home in particular has a lot of stuff going on because a lot of the items from the store have made it to the home. There's so much breathing and stuff going on. Like, I cannot even right now.
They'll behave. We'll be okay.
There's so much noise. I hope the mics are picking this up. I really do.
I hope so.
So there has been a lot of activity here in the house, and that's where we are tonight, is in the house. And like Sophie said, we're going to talk about when you bring things home that are previously used items. They did belong to someone else, and what, you know, the proper way to handle them, and what, I mean, I don't know. We're just going to run the gamut. We're going to talk about everything. So I was telling Sophie, while I was packing up to come here tonight, packing up all the equipment, people or energies were making their presence known and showing me the house and where they were and what they were doing. And in particular, like this little boy that was dressed very period like, I don't know if it's like 20s, 30s, something like that. And like he was showing me being in the house and like looking around corners. And I was like, sir, you're not motivating me to go do this. Not in the slightest. So as I am coming here,
hey, finally some activity.
Goodness.
By the way, we're filming a little bit. There's two pictures that are, they're absolutely beautiful. They're almost as tall as I am. They're super heavy. I don't know from what period they are. I don't know if they are from Chinese origin or Mongolian origin. But I can tell you the story of how my mom acquired them. A man of Asian descent came into mom's store and asked her if he would take, or if he could give her two pictures. And she's like, well, I have plenty of pictures at the store. I don't want to buy any more. And he was very insistent. He said, no, you don't have to buy them. I want to give them to you. They are yours.
Hard pass, sir.
Will you please take them? And my mom's like, well, let's see them. So he brings them each in. And mom, you know, again, she's a dealer. And she looked at them. She goes, oh, those are beautiful. But they needed a little bit of loving care because the face had kind of was starting to come apart in one of the pictures. So she's like, she's very good at restoration. So she's like, sure, I'll take them. Go ahead and put them down in the hallway of the shop and I'll get to working on them and everything. And are you sure you don't want to be paid for them? Because these are pictures that run close to $1,000 a pair, if not more. They're gorgeous. So the man hurriedly put the pictures in the hallway, told her thank you very much, and was gone. So the pictures have been at the shop for a long, long time. And I have an office in the back of my mom's shop. The hallway that they're placed in is a hallway going towards my treatment room. But again, there's always activity going on in mom's store. that I really didn't pay any mind because the only my office was clear. That's all I needed it to be. And it just never occurred to me where each individual item was having activity because there were so many items having activity. It's hard to discern. Well, Chantel, bless her heart, has come to the store and has helped me move things out of the store. And we finally got all the pictures out of the store except for these two huge pictures, which literally take up my entire trunk space of the car, and they're too awkward for me to handle. So they've been staying in the store in the hallway by themselves. And usually I'm at the store during the day, but I'm trying to catch up. So I started being at the store at night. And when I was there at night, the first night, I'm in this store by myself. It's about 8 o'clock at night. And I hear footsteps in the store. And I'm like, oh my God, did someone break in or come in while I wasn't looking? You know, because we're in a commercial area. All the other businesses are closed. I'm a little nervous. So I hear walking up and down the hallway. So I kind of walk over there and I kind of peek a little bit and I don't see anybody. I was like, what is going on here? What? I'm not so sure. And I back off a little bit. And of course, I've got my mom's cow prod, electrocution cow prod in my hand just in case I need
that.
Come
at me, bro.
But the footsteps stop. And I was like, okay, maybe it's just something, you know, I'm making things up in my head. There's stuff going on in the store. No big deal. I go back to working again, and then I hear the footsteps again, but this time I hear voices. So I go back to the hallway, and I kind of listen a little bit, and the voices I hear, I understand Vietnamese language. This was not Vietnamese language. It was some kind of Asian language, and judging from the style of the pictures, as I said, this could be from Chinese pictures or Mongolian-based pictures. I'm not sure, but it was one of those languages. It almost sounded like a little bit like Mandarin, which is when my teacher spoke many years ago. So at that point, I'm like, you know, I'm good. I close up shop, I leave. So this is how I know that the pictures have some activity. And I've brought them here to the house because they are going up for sale, probably at auction. But we've got cameras on them right now, and it has been a struggle keeping the cameras on.
Yes.
Without them shutting the cameras off or disturbing. But I haven't heard them talk yet, so hopefully they'll be willing to talk, or maybe not. It's okay.
I don't know if I'm wishing for or against that.
But one of the things I wanted to talk about is any kind of object can be inhabited. It could be pictures, it can be dolls, it can be books, it could be a vase. When we were transporting the pictures from the shop to my house, Chantel had a little bit of an experience that I'm going to let her talk about regarding, and we had to figure out which pictures were being affected in this case.
Yeah, so both Sophie and I were transporting pictures in our cars, and on our way from the there's so much interference, you guys. Like, I am sorry in advance, and I'm probably going to leave a lot of this in the episode, so hopefully you hear it, but there's so much interference. There's breathing. There is, like, static in the recording. There's flashing on the video. I mean, it's all over. Anyway, I digress. So as we're driving from the shop to Sophie's mom's house, I suddenly realize that there is a woman sitting in my back seat. And so she's just sitting there, hands on her lap, palms down, looking out the window. And she's like in all white. She's older and she's just like sitting there looking outside. And she, I keep hearing stuff. I hope the mics are picking all this up. I really do. Cause, oh my God. So she's just sitting there, and we get to Sophie's mom's house, and like, so we backed in, Sophie backed into the driveway and I backed in next to her, and the part of the driveway that I backed in on, the concrete is not even. So it's like it's kind of bumpy when you back in, and she legit said, "You should really learn to drive." I was like, "Ma'am, what the hell?" Like, are you kidding? So when we get out, I'm like, Sophie, do you know this lady? And she's like, what lady? I said, the lady sitting in my back seat. So we just figured out that she was attached to something. And so she said, we were trying to figure out why she was in my car, because I could tell that she was attached to something in Sophie's car. And she said, I'm not allowed in her car. And I was like, well, why the hell do you think you're allowed in mine?
And I said, but somebody needs to work on her protection level.
Right. That aside, I know, right? And Sophie said, like, she starts dying laughing and she's like, I was waiting for this to happen. I was like, what the? I almost got so bad. I was like, what the hell, dude? So, you know, inevitably, because we are working with so many antiques and like a lot of the things in there have belonged to someone else, a lot of it. And so we figured out that the woman was attached to a hand stitch, cross stitch.
It was a set of her cross stitch that she had personally done herself.
Yeah. So cross stitch that she had done and was framed, very pretty. And she was attached to it and really was just kind of checking us out, checking it out, checking out the final destination. And her attachment was really that she doesn't have very many things left. And so she said that's one of the few things she has and it's very precious to her. So she didn't mean any harm. She really, I mean, her telling me I should learn how to drive, like whatevs, but I didn't take it personal.
And she still sticks around here and she kind of hangs out with all the other peeps up in here. Yeah. But she's harmless. You know, she's attached to her pictures. And one of the things that I did acknowledge her and I did tell her, I said, look, your pictures are here because I'm going to try to find the best home for them where they will be cherished. And that's all she's looking for. She's looking for something, for someone to pay respects to her possessions that she enjoyed in life. Now, in regards to showing her the light and sending her off on her way, she didn't ask me to do that, so I'm not going to do that. That's her personal choice. So I'm going to let her be, and she can hang out with her pictures until it's time for them to go to their new home. And then if hopefully the new owners will be okay with that. I'm not saying anything about it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you brought that up. And that's not the topic at hand, but since you did say it, what is your ultimate feeling on helping beings to cross over?
It's a case by case basis, to be honest. It's sometimes they ask for help and I might lend a helping hand. It really depends on where I'm at during that day. And then other times it's just really none of my business. You know, they're out there, they're doing their thing, they're happy where they're at. Cool. And that's fine. Now, in regards to, I have antiques in my house too, but if there's something attached, I have to make a choice. I can either decide, yes, I want to keep that antique, but I'm going to clear it. I'm going to work on it. Or I can decide, you know what? There's a heavy attachment to this antique, and we'll get to that tonight. And I may decide, you know what? Maybe it's just not worth it. This right. needs to go to another place where the new owner is okay with the extra accessories with that item. So it just depends, you know, and it's not for everybody either to show the light. You know, sometimes you just got to kind of hand that over to somebody else that's got more experience. Mm-hmm.
So let's get down to the nitty gritty. We already know of some of the items here that. Good Lord. So much activity. I was telling Sophie, so I was saying earlier on my way here, you know, when I was packing up, I saw the boy or he was showing himself to me. And on my way here, I was just like, I'm going to listen to some fun, pump me up music. And as soon as I stop talking, like it just stops. It's so weird. Anyway. So I'm like, I'm just going to listen to some fun pump me up music and whatever. And as I was getting closer, I started getting congested. My heart was racing. I was like, oh my God, what am I getting myself into? And I got here and like Sophie came and met me outside. We came in and it was so thick in here with energy and people walking around and climbing around. And we're like standing in, what is this room? Would this be like the dining room?
Yeah, sure. This used to be the dining room.
Okay. So we're sitting, like, we're kind of in the middle of the house. Like, it's very
this broken is the center up. Of the house.
Yeah. So it's very broken up, and we're pretty much in the center. So from where we're sitting, we can see the kitchen, the study type area, the living room, the entryway, and the entrance to the hall where the pictures are. And I mean, it's just, I was telling Sophie, we were sitting here talking before we set up all the equipment, and I was like, I can feel somebody snaking around me. I can, like, we're just, there's so much stuff that we're picking up. It's just, it's a little crazy. So let's get down to the get down. So Sophie is talking about bringing items into your home or your space, whatever space that may be, that have been previously owned, that were previously owned by someone else, and how you clear them and how you protect yourself and your space and banish whatever energy they have. And it doesn't have to mean that they're haunted. I mean, energy is energy. And I think, you know, not I think, I know, it's almost like, you know, you touching a door handle that has germs on it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pick that up, whether they're good or bad.
Right. Right.
Correct. You're going to pick that up. There is a transfer that happens. And I think it's the same energetically. So it doesn't necessarily mean that these, you know, you pick up a porcelain doll at an antique shop and you're bringing home a ghost or something. It could just be residual energy left over from someone else. But
yes,
over time, that buildup can take a different form.
Yeah.
It manifests, so to speak. Okay. Yeah.
It can do that. I mean, there's infinite numbers of how energy transmits itself. Sometimes it is a singular energy that it's an earthbound, you know, other times it is a combination of energies and words that come together. And I guess I should go ahead and bring up the books. So my dad was part of a certain society. I'm not going to mention that here, what society that is, but I happened to come across the books last night. It was just purely by accident. And I looked at them and I was like, well, should I sell these? Should I not? And I hadn't touched them yet. I just took a photo of them and I sent them to a friend of mine, and he immediately called me and said, no, you will not sell those. I was like, okay, fine. So as I pulled out, I saw three initial books, and as I started pulling them out and stacking them up together, I took them from one section that is very congested with energy to another section of the house that isn't as congested. And as I started stacking them up and everything, I opened them up and started reading some of the words. And I kid you not, there is a lot of magic in these books. So I'm super excited to just totally dive into them.
I can't wait.
That being said, though, as I gathered all the books together, and I think I have all of them, I'm going to do another run through the house. There's about 7 books is what it looks like I have. And one of them is the titled Bible of this particular ancient practice. And as I set them aside, I went back to do other things, and I look over at the books, and there is this not a person. It's an entity of some sort. This is a new experience for me, because I know there's a lot of magic in the books, and I don't know if it's the books' essences together that has formed this entity before me. I mean, he's got his, he's not exactly humanoid. Well, okay, he's not humanoid at all. Let me put it that way. He has horns, or antlers, however you want to put that. His face is, he kind of reminds me of Pan in a lot of ways. He reminds me of Pan. Of what I've seen at my mom's store that she sells, but without the goat legs, if that makes sense.
And who is Pan?
Pan is a woodland creature, part of the Celtic, you know, belief system. So I don't think he's part goat, but he has the little antlers and everything like that. He's not the devil or anything like that. He's just a woodland deity. But this is what this person reminds me of, is a very masculine being. And I don't know. I know he is attached to the books, but I don't know to what level. And I am going to I'm actually considering taking the books home, but I don't want him living in my house because I don't know what he is. So I'm going to do some ritual of my own before the books actually enter into my home. I haven't quite figured out what that ritual is going to be because this is, again, a new experience. And I don't want to affect the magic that lives within the books, because one of the things that this is a group knowledge that has been dropped into these books. So this is very much like a witch's book of spells. You know, that's something very similar to this, except this is a 7-volume case of very thick books. Chantel had a little bit of a difference. I let her touch the books, and I'm going to let her describe what she felt.
So what I saw was initially when I was approaching the books and put my hands on the books, there was a Bible close by, so I wasn't getting a very clear picture, and I could see that there was a group. But as soon as Sophie took that Bible away,
I put that Bible there on purpose.
As soon as she took the Bible away, the group became very clear, and it was like standing in a semicircle, cloaked, so I couldn't tell men or women or a combination, but they were cloaked in all black, and it was quite a large group of people. So she said, that tracks with what you're feeling, because just standing there off to the side, I mean, I couldn't read titles or anything, and they just look like, I don't know, large dictionaries or something. Mm-hmm. If you just glance at them.
So these books are original to our family. These books were on my dad's side of the family. So these aren't books that mom got at an estate sale or anything like that. I don't feel any fear from the books or of that nature, but at the same time, I'm not entirely sure where dad got them from. I don't know if he got them brand new or if they were passed down to him from somebody else either. So I'm just going to play it safe, you know, take them home, do my woo-woo stuff, see how I feel about the books then, and see if I can, I have a vast book collection, and see if they can be a part of that. If not, then my friend who I told the books about is all over wanting to have these books, which he may or may not want after I describe what's associated with them. But we'll see what happens. Either way, I'm super excited about taking these home, at least opening them up and reading some of these words, because the little bit I read is just, just reading them, I could feel things manifesting and changing and shifting energetically. So one of the things I try to tell everybody is that, you know, words have power. The whole part of spelling is the words that you use to manifest things. So be careful what you say, be careful about what you read and what you allow to influence you. But I feel okay with these books so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't get a scary feeling. It was a little weird to see that group just standing like that, just, you know, like they were part of a ritual or something.
Group knowledge. Mm-hmm. A lot of group knowledge and history in those books. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't scary.
Yeah.
It wasn't scary at all. So we are, though, in the presence of a lot of energy, a lot of beings that are roaming around, and they have permission to do that right now. Sophie has this place on lock, and she has very strict boundaries, and I really appreciate that. And so I was telling my boyfriend, I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't do this with anyone else. Like, it's only Sophie. So we are in the presence of a lot of antique objects. That's what I'm looking for, and I keep hearing noise. We are in the presence of a lot of antique objects, and there are two sitting in front of us, like a mere like 2 feet away. And in front of them is my phone that we're using as a monitor to monitor the camera that is on the two pictures in the hall. And I've been seeing little flashes of light and stuff, but not like, you know, we were just getting some serious disruption earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, not as bad.
So. A lot of interference. So let's talk about the two objects that are sitting in front of us and what you have been noticing as you've been coming into the house and what we noticed a little while ago, right before we started recording.
At the shop, my mom has what I like to call the creepy doll collection. These are a bunch of encased dolls that she has collected from, I know, other estate sales. And a while back. I'm trying to get all her collections together. She's got... Sorry.
What's going on?
Sorry, something behind me is bothering me.
Me too.
I was like, seriously.
I keep looking back and I...
Well, do you hear it?
No,
it's crinkling behind me.
No, something keeps like doing this to my back.
Oh, yeah. They're keep not touching me. They're making noise back here and it's bothering me.
I'm moving the
me.
Mic away from my mouth. Sorry,
it's
guys.
Very distracting. Cut it out.
You guys stop.
Okay. So, Mom has the typical collection. She's got the Precious Moments, the Snow Babies, the Goebbels, the Hummels, and everything. But there was an empty box that I was looking for a Precious Moment, and I couldn't find it in the shop. My friends couldn't find it in the shop. So I'm like, I came to this house and I said, okay, Mom, whoever's here, I need to find this Precious Moment. Where is it? Well, beforehand, I had taken all the creepy dolls in their cases and placed them in front of a curio. And the answer I get is, it's in the curio.
Of course.
Where you block the door where all the creepy dolls are. So I look down at all the dolls. I'm like, great. I'm going to have to move all of you. And they're big. You know, some of them are like close to 2 feet tall. And then some of them are smaller. So I go through the process of, well, here's the door. I just need to move just enough to get the door open. So I start scooting them over and moving the door to get to that Precious Moment. And out of the corner of my eye, there's two small puppets that are laying on top of one of the encased dolls. And I swear that one of the puppets moved his head a little bit. And it was just out of the corner of my eye. And I was like, well, maybe I accidentally bumped the case or something, you know. And I looked straight at it. I'm like, yeah, we're fine. Meanwhile, I'm still moving creepy dolls, you know. And finally, I find that Precious Moment and 5 more Precious Moments, by the way. If anybody wants to buy Precious Moments, I have them. I get the Precious Moments out. And as I'm getting it out, you know, I'm placing them. I'm having to walk away to place them. And as I'm walking away, I see the doll move. And the eyes are now watching me going back and forth. So I put the Precious Moments down and I stop and I walk to the left, looking directly at the doll. I walk to the right. Yep, eyes are following me. Let me do it one more time. Left and then right. I was like, this dude's watching me. It's watching me right now. I was like, okay, yeah. You know what? I got work to do. You just stay in a box and I'm going to go do my thing. So I close the curio case, get all the Precious Moments out, close the curio case, shove all the creepy dolls back where they are and go back and do my business and leave the house. A few days later, I come back and it's daytime and I pick up the doll because I am not picking them up at night, not by myself here. Not even I will do that. And he's asleep. He's completely asleep. Nothing's going on. I was like, okay. I come back. I'm here every day and now every night as I try to catch up with things. And sure enough, he starts waking up at night. So as Chantel's driving on her way here, we had a set time, but I went ahead and texted her. I said, well, the puppet's awake. Just letting you know. You know, everybody's waking up. And this is because I've given them permission to kind of be a part of the show if they're interested, you know.
And it really seems like they are.
Yeah, they're super interested. They're behaving quite well. But I did pick up the doll, and one of the things, and I don't know if we can get this on film or not, but you can see, and by the way, Chantel let me know that the doll is actually a female, but I swear the presence inside this doll is a male presence, but you can see his eyes start to dilate as he looks at you.
Yes.
And it starts to change, which I thought was totally cool. But again, these are dolls I'm not taking home. But if somebody else wants to take them home and they're okay with the little energy that's, you know, keeping them alive and or giving them a little bit of a living essence, hey, cool. Do your thing.
Good luck.
And no, I won't take them out of the box.
Yeah, so they're not like in an Annabelle case, guys, with like a warning on them. They are in their original packaging. And
oh my goodness.
Oh. Is she he still?
It's a he. I know he's in the chick body, but it's a he.
Okay, sorry.
It's definitely a he.
Sorry, guys.
I don't see anyone from this guy. Yeah, this one's completely. This one's gone. There's nothing happening in this one. Yeah. It's only this little guy. This one's special.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about bringing things in. I had a friend not long ago that sent me a message, and she was really concerned about a piece of furniture that she bought used. And from the time they brought it into their home, they had strange things going on. Their kids weren't sleeping through the night. They were waking up scared and crying. And there was just a lot. And some of the things that were going on had been going on prior to this piece of furniture coming in. There had been some loss in the family, and so some visitations. And then this piece came, and things really escalated in a creepy way. And so she was asking for my advice, and I gave her some advice, and she ended up, you know, she followed everything and cleared it to the best of her abilities and did all of that and ended up getting rid of it, which was probably the best thing mm-hmm. to do. So when you are bringing something home, or let's just even start with you are perusing at an antique shop.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, as a non-practitioner, because we have things that we do, like yeah. you've taught us a lot of things, a lot of ways to protect ourselves, Reiki symbols and crystals and like you name it. As a beginner going in to do this, like if you're just going in wherever you are, and protection is always good, but you're going to go in and you're going to shop at an antique store or go antiquing all day or go to estate sales and yard sales, and what's the base? Like, how do you just start with protection?
Well, I don't know if protection is necessarily the right word in this case, because every item belonged to somebody else. And when an item belongs to someone else, that's their property. So, yeah. For instance, if you move into a house where someone has died and they haven't moved on and they're still living in that house, well, guess who has ownership of that property? Legally, you do on paper, but etherically, it's still their house.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the things that always seems to bother me a little bit is when someone moves into a house that they know is haunted and they feel like they have the right to make that essence just leave because they feel like they own the house now. Well, no, you don't. You can ask the essence if it's okay you move in and you guys come up with a partnership, you know, a mutual understanding that you're both going to live there. That's really the polite thing to do. But to just assume that you can come in there and you can come with a priest or someone to cleanse your house or this, that, and the other, you don't have the right of ownership. You know, right of ownership isn't just on the physical realm. It's on all the different realms. So kind of keep that in mind when you're coming into a house. And even with objects, you know, it's like the lady with the cross stitch. She's very attached to them. You can cleanse them if you want, or you can simply accept the fact that she's, you know, kind of attached to them. But what might actually work for her is that someone buys them, brings them in a home. She sees that they're cherished. She lets go of them and she goes on her own way. And a lot of times that is what happens with antiques. You know, they've got something attached to them just because someone apparently loved them that much that they're worried they're in the store now. But when you pick them up and you take them home and you clean them up, you give them love, you give them sunlight, you just really cherish that item, a lot of times the residual energy that was there disperses. It just mm-hmm. goes away, and that's okay. But sometimes there's other little things that they're not going to do that. And then you have to decide, are you okay living with that? Or even better, maybe it needs to go to someone else that is okay with that. Or maybe it just doesn't need to be with anybody at all.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be in the Warren's Museum, guys.
Yeah. It could be something, you know, just like that. I've traveled in different countries and different areas, and museums are quite unique. Specifically the Egyptian museums, where a lot of the temples were raided. And they've had to bring things into the museums. Well, the essences attached to those museums that came from tombs are very unhappy. So those museums are haunted like you would not believe. And you can feel the distress in certain objects, you know, that emit from them. Or a lot of them are watching you, you know, very cautious about you coming too near, too close to them. So it's the same type of thing here. I don't know how Mom acquired these puppets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And to be honest, I don't know that these puppets had anything in them until they came to Mom's shop. They could very well have been completely empty, but because there's so much etheric activity happening, they may have looked at them like, hey, this looks humanoid enough. Mm-hmm. Let me jump in, you know, pretend I'm a little bit of a human, even though I'm not, you know, and see what happens. See about somebody picks me up. So it's just something to think about. And I'm not saying it's a good thing or it's a bad thing. It's just something you seriously have to consider. You know, you pick something up. Does that energy jive with you? Great. If it doesn't, you can try to do something about it. If it still doesn't, then it doesn't need to be with you.
Mm-hmm. No, those are all really good points. Very good points. So I'm thinking more along the lines of when you're going to go and do this and you're going to go shop and you're going to go do whatever it is and you're going to these places that have these used items previously owned and they may have been owned by tons and tons of people. How do you protect yourself so you're not catching or so you're not bringing hitchhikers with you? Because I mean, you know, because you were there, but it's been the case for me. It's been the case for Marie. I'm sure it's been the case for other people that you've known. Mm-hmm. And it happens all the time. And it's kind of like we said, when you're, you know, you touch a doorknob or whatever and you're picking up germs, kind of the same thing. So as you're moving through those spaces and you're, you know, like you said, at the museum, there are so many items that you can feel energetically that they're like, they're mm-hmm. very cautious and very, but not everybody is walking around with their spidey senses on so they can feel each other out. And they're just walking around touching stuff and paying no never mind.
Well, it's very much like catching a virus, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes you're on your game and your immune system's up and right. you're doing fine. And then other times you're not. There's really not a catch-all other than trying to pay attention. And if you're not feeling 100%, maybe not going into shops like that.
Right.
Maybe staying out in the sunlight. You know, it's various things will just catch you. There's right. no 100%. I get infected every right. now and then. And the only thing I can suggest is you go and you get from someone else energy therapy every now and then to clean you up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like getting a physical. If you tend to frequent a lot of psychic fairs or metaphysical places or antique shops or things like that, maybe you want to get cleaned up a little more often. Mm-hmm. If you don't do it very often, you take very good care of yourself, you should be fine. It's really, there's no catch-all. Mm-hmm. You know, I can tell you, you can put this crystal on or that crystal on, but unless you understand how crystals are, crystals need to be maintained too.
Right.
You know, I can tell you
everything
to,
does.
Yeah, I can tell you to take an Epsom salt bath. Well, an Epsom salt bath is only going to help you so much. Mm-hmm. You know, it really depends on what kind of potential infection you might have. It's
right.
all different.
Right. Like carrying a silver stake is not going to ward off a ghost, but if you're in the presence of a vampire, you're golden.
Yeah. And that, essentially the same thing. Like tonight, you know, Chantel asked me, she goes, is there anything I need to, that I can do to make sure I stay clear? And, you know, I told her, I said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wear silver, pure silver. And I have holy water that I brought back from the chalice from Cornwall. I am wearing that right now. And there is a significant difference with me wearing this versus I wasn't wearing anything before coming into the house. I was just using my own power, my own light to keep things clean or keep things unaffecting me. But I also have the right of ownership here. So that's what keeps everyone on proper behavior. When Mom lived here, she had the right of ownership. So me coming in here, I don't have as much say. I have some say because she's my mom, but I didn't have as much say since she was living in this area and this is her property. Well, this property is mine now, which means everybody has to be on their best behavior. Otherwise, we're going to have a problem.
Heads and will roll.
Yeah, and I'm going to win because I know every essence in here was brought in after we resided here. They didn't live here before then, so they don't get to argue with me about staying.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's
making
behaving.
Make a note of that, guys. Make a note of that.
Yeah. So you have a right of your own property. Now, when you bring something in that owned that property before, it's almost kind of like a partnership there. So you kind of got to be careful regarding that. It's again, you're kind of rolling the dice there. And I don't want to talk bad about antiques at all. I have a ton of antiques in my house, but I was very careful about selecting them. They get cleaned up. They are very well loved. And I think that's probably the most important thing, is that you put a lot of love into the item. It's not just a regular item. It's something that you're going to treasure, that you're going to care about so much that the energy associated with it just dissipates. And when that energy is gone, then you can decide what you want to do with it afterwards. But it's almost that reassurance. If an energy is attached to a physical object here, it's usually an emotional attachment of some sort. Usually. Unless they did a ritual with it. Then it's something different. And there are those too.
I do not have any antiques because I don't like it. I'm afraid of it. I just can't get down. I can't. My mom has even bought stuff that she's like, yeah, no, our energy is just not vibing. So yeah. She'll get rid of it. And that would be me too. Although I would first have to buy it. So I don't go to antique shops. I don't know. But I also, since I was little, I remember, and my grandma would go to yard sales and stuff. So, you know, there is that. But she would always tell me to be careful buying stuff used. And I mean, I've heard this forever since I was really little. And I can remember her talking about that stuff. And I did say some episodes back, I told you guys that someone had gifted me a gigantic Papa Smurf. And she made me get rid of it. Like, I remember us walking to the dumpster and throwing it away because she was talking about it being a vessel and I was like, what? So in my, like, you know, 4 or 5 year old mind, I'm like, what the heck? Like, it's just my Papa Smurf.
It's just Smurf.
Mm-hmm. But she, like, I mean, okay, camera died. Camera's dying. Okay. I hear you, buddy. It's fine. Crossover. So I do remember this from a really young age, her talking about this. And I wish that I had thought, and I said this in the Papa Smurf episode, but I wish that I had thought to ask her about this. But by the time I started doing energy work and started doing classes with you and really opening up to this, she had already passed on. Mm-hmm. But I do wish that the two, you know, me getting into this and her still being here would have happened together, because I would love to have talked to her about all this stuff and really just gotten more, you know, a lot deeper into her experiences and where she was coming from with these warnings, if you will. I mean, because I remember at a really young age her saying to me, like, she came in my room or something and said, like, I was calling out for her or something. I was saying, huh, what, or something like that. And her walking into my room and saying, never, ever, ever ask, like, what or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you think I'm calling you, come and find me and ask me if I called you. And I was like, huh? So I've always grown up with this stuff. It's always been part of my upbringing and my, you know, just part of my DNA, I guess. But it's a different thing. And there are so many stories out there. And if you guys have any of your own stories of bringing things into your home or into your space and the energy shifting and you noticing changes, make sure you let us know, because we would love to hear your stories. There are so many out there.
Yeah.
There are so many out there. And I think, you know, people panic and they're like, oh God, what do I do? And, you know, what's going on? And too often, I don't think people associate it with the new thing they have brought in.
Right.
And that was always my grandma's first question. When anybody in the family said, man, this is going on or whatever, she'd say, is there something new that you brought in? Yes. That was always like one of the absolute first questions. Yep. And
absolutely.
And I remember that too from a young age. Her just, you know, and even if things felt a little bit different in our house, she would look around and say, like, did somebody give me something? Did I bring something in? I mean, all the time. It was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy.
And like I said, you know, I don't want to be a downer on antiques, because antiques are fantastic. I love antiques. And cleaning out my mom's shop and house and everything, I'll be bringing some things home. Just FYI, because, you know, they're gorgeous. But at the same time, I'm going to do due diligence and make sure that I'm not bringing a little extra something, something that might be attached to them. And if they're there, then I'll just take them back. And that means I'm not the right home for them. I do want to mention that some of the most commonly haunted items are going to be your dolls. There are no dolls in my house. Mm-hmm. I never play with dolls. I don't like dolls. Just FYI.
I'm glad you said that.
And mirrors. Mirrors are huge. Mm-hmm. And even if your mirror at home isn't haunted and you bring something that is haunted in, your mirror can be possibly start causing a problem. Mom has a haunted mirror that is still at her shop. It's not as bad now. Her shop, the energy has seriously shifted since I've taken out most of the secondhand items in the store.
I feel super light in there now.
It is. It's super light. There are still some secondhand items in there, but they're not the kind of items that carry such a heavy presence with them. So there's so much light in there now. It's brighter. It's not as foggy. It's not as crowded when I walk in where I've got a crowd of beings in there and none of them have money to go shopping. You know, that's really just not cool for me. But, you know, just kind of keep in mind, you bring something home, if things start changing or shifting in a manner that you're not comfortable with, start thinking back. What did I just bring home? Where did I put it? What could it be affecting? And then it really as simple as taking that item and putting it outside. Put it outside for a few days or put it in your garage if that's okay. If the weather is not allowing you to put it outside, see what happens then. Give it a week. Is your home coming back to normal? Is everything okay? If it does, then there's a good chance that there's something going on with that item that you need to address and decide if you want to keep it or if you want to figure out a way to clear it out. And sage ain't going to work. Sage is not for everything, just FYI. It just depends on what the problem is.
Right.
Friends, that's a wrap on part one of this lovely episode with our favoriteest Sophie of all time. We hope you enjoyed this creepy content as much as we did. Thank you again for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. We love you guys so, so much. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where I show you even more love. Make sure you turn on those notifications and tag me in your Media Matters post for a special shout out. Want to shop with me? Find my store at amazon.com/shop/Media Matters and do what I do, shop. Feeling spooky? Send your real life ghost stories to themediamatters@gmail.com, via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or leave your ghost story on the show's voicemail at 850-203-0118. Do you want the VIP treatment all the live long day? Join our kick-ass Patreon family and be part of the fun. Find us at patreon.com/themediamatters and join us today. Are you liking the show? Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this and other podcasts you're loving. Your ratings and reviews help support the show and makes it easier for others to find your faves. With that, you guys, we are donezo for the night. But fear not, we're back next week with an all-new episode of The Media Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.